The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with AD ASAP. A dominant performance. But is it too little, too late for the Lakers? Meanwhile, a legendary voice assigns blame in the debacle surrounding Aaron Rodgers' departure. You have to hear what he had to say. And then the Browns make a quarterback call that will decide the next 5 years for their franchise. We'll tell you how they got it exactly right. As we get up with you, starting right now on a Monday. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day. This is Greeny in New York. Delighted to get this thing rolling. And look who's gotten up with us today. Jay Willoughby along in a minute talking hoops. And we got Dominique. We got Dan Graziano. We got Ryan Clark. We've got all the makings. The look on Neek's face, I think, says it all. But we begin in the NBA. The Suns, the Lakers, the performance of the night came from Anthony Davis with LeBron James looking on. And a big one against the Suns, a team they could see in the playoffs. He would watch Anthony Davis dominate. Look at him early inside. That's big man to big man. Drummond throwing it up. AD throwing it down. Lakers had a 7-0 lead and would really never look back. Here he is, AD, working baseline. He had double figures in the first quarter for the first time since returning from injury. And he wasn't done. Second quarter, Suns in transition. Look out. From behind, Anthony Davis gets Jay Crowder. Take a look at that. Shades of Game 7 from years ago. Davis making it happen. Both ends of the floor. Later in the second, it's a 14-point game. He's working on Frank Kaminsky. Yes, Davis with 22 at the half. Lakers up a dozen. Third quarter, more L.A., more A.D. Was Mr. Inside? He's Mr. Outside. 34 points through three for Anthony Davis. And there were three right there. Fourth quarter, Lakers are up by 10. It's Alex Caruso. It's A.D. Oh, the reverse slam. 42 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks for Anthony Davis, carrying the Lakers to a 13-point win in a showdown against the Suns as we're a week away from the postseason.
Just because we're a lower seed, we're not going to, back down from anybody. We're going to come out and play Lakers basketball, and I think teams know that and feel that as well. What I've seen from LeBron today, he'll be fine. Trust me. He'll be fine.
Now, we will see. After this win last night, the Lakers are now a single game back of the sixth seed Portland with 4 games remaining on the schedule. Our analytics still sees the seventh seed as their most likely finish, a 45% chance to end up in that spot. And here he is, Jay Williams from across the hall, the Jay from KJZ, coast to coast on ESPN Radio. So, if Anthony Davis plays like that, is he enough to carry the Lakers deep into the playoffs if LeBron's ankle just never gets to be 100%?
No. No. Look, obviously, you need Dennis Schroeder. You need Kyle Kuzma to play at a high level. I was very impressed with the way the Lakers defended last night against the Suns. But you need LeBron James to close the deal. And let's not get things twisted here. It is a win or bust season for the Lakers. That's what you want if you're LeBron James or AD. I think AD can have great performances, but with the depth of the Western Conference, I think it will be challenging for them to go very deep without LeBron James.
Well, look, I mean, let's start with them even getting there in the first place. If everything sort of ended up the way it is right now, they'd be in that play-in tournament. And I will tell you right now, the way Steph Curry is playing, the idea of having to deal with him in a one-game scenario, that might be the scariest possibility the Lakers get the entire way.
That's fine. I'll tell you, if LeBron James and AD are back and Dennis Schroeder is back on the court against Stephen Curry, I will easily take the Lakers. And I'll tell you this, Greeny, if you're the Lakers and you just had a big-time defensive performance last night against the Suns, AD dropped 42 points, no Dennis Schroeder, no Kyle Kuzma. Great. Give me the Phoenix Suns in the first round. Great. You know, Phoenix has always been known for rejuvenating players' careers. Phoenix will rejuvenate LeBron James in the first round of the playoff series, and that will give them the momentum they need going to the next round.
So we're overlooking Steph. We're overlooking the Steph threat factor when right now he's the most exciting show in the sport.
I'm not overlooking it. I'm just stating to you that the threat factor of LeBron James and AD and Dennis Schroeder is way higher than the threat factor of Stephen Curry alone.
All right, so I'm going to ask you the question I feel like I ask you every single day when you're nice enough enough to come over here at one of your commercial breaks. Lakers are the field in the West right now.
Field. I need to see LeBron James. And I'll say this. Watching the Clippers play with the addition of Rajon Rondo, with the way they play, the Clippers might be the team to beat in the Western Conference. I still need to see Donovan Mitchell come back off the ankle. Granted, Utah is the best team, but Clippers have the star power, and there's that narrative that follows Paul George from last year. They have something to prove this year.
It is a wild, wild West, and we are about a week away from the tournament beginning. We'll see where it goes, and KJZ is every morning with you, coast to coast on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, man.
All right, so from one superstar conversation to another, the biggest story in the NFL is Aaron Rodgers' future with the Packers. Going back to Friday, former Packers legendary coach Mike Holmgren, who won the Super Bowl with Green Bay in 96, had this to say about the entire mess surrounding the star QB.
Listen, this is the second time the Packers have gone through this. They went through it with Brett, too, when they drafted Aaron, ironically enough. And with a franchise quarterback and a guy as good as Aaron, you don't treat all the players the same. I can't imagine the relationship between the coach or management or whoever's making the decisions and a star quarterback like that getting to this point. I wouldn't allow it. It wouldn't happen.
Well, isn't that interesting? And I'm looking at they're raring to go. RC, I'm going to give you the first crack at this thing here. What do you think of that? He's dishing out blame. Are you buying it?
Hey, you know what? It's good for Mike Holmgren to say that. He's retired. You know, it makes me want to tell him, so wait, Doc, you built a time machine out of a DeLorean? Like, that's how I feel right now listening to Mike Holmgren talk about what he wouldn't let happen with the Green Bay Packers. And you could say it. You were with San Francisco with great quarterbacks. You were in Green Bay with a great quarterback. And you understand those relationships. But football is different now. Mike Holmgren coached when you didn't have to talk to the quarterback about who you were drafting, when you could have Steve Young and Joe Montana on the same team and then ship Joe Montana off to Kansas City. So I'm not necessarily sure he's qualified to say what he would do in this position. Now, on the other side of that, when you look at GM Brian Gutekunst, he was trying to do what was best for the Green Bay Packers. He wasn't thinking about what was best for Aaron Rodgers, and in turn, not focusing on the present. He was thinking about the future, and that's why they are in this position now. And I know they wish they actually had a DeLorean, and they had Doc, and Pete was their Biff, and they could go back and change things, but you can't. So now it's about fixing things in Green Bay in the present. And Aaron Rodgers opened it up to John Kuhn and said, maybe it could be fixed. Maybe we could figure out a way. I believe that's what they'll do until June 1st. And then after that, the Green Bay Packers have to get serious about moving Aaron Rodgers.
So Greeny hates when we do a show just for each other because he's like, all these other people watching, but I love it. This show is just for me and you, RC. And I think that Brian Gutekunst, like, I can defend him now on Bomani's podcast, Bomani Jones' podcast, The Right Time. I talk myself into understanding a defense for Brian Gutekunst, a.k.a. Young Goody. Because if you go back to 2020, the draft, when they drafted Jordan Love, you look at that team. That team was lucky. They were 13-3, but they were 6-1 in one-score games. Their defense was not very good, but they had a lot of turnovers that made them look better than they were. And then they got blown out by the 49ers in the championship game. They're coming off of two consecutive seasons where Aaron Rodgers was below league average as far as QBR is concerned. But Brian Gutekunst was smart enough to look past the 13-3 record, look past the fact that they were on the doorstep of the Super Bowl, and recognize that this team was on the decline. This quarterback was on the decline. It's time to start looking at the next window. And then Aaron Rodgers came back to life. There's no way for him to understand that. So it feels like one of those situations where nobody is wrong.
Have you been talking to Groz?
No, I have not been talking to Groz.
Groz?
No. I think I'll give Groz some room in a second. But I do think that it's important for Mike Holmgren to, like, be quiet, because this is a lot like when Marty McFly went back in time and invented rock and roll. Like, you already knew what was happening. It's a lot easier. Like, you can't take the sports almanac and then go back and win all the games now. Like, be quiet. It's not that easy. It's easier said than done. I can defend all the decisions that Young Goody made up in this situation. And I also understand and defend Aaron Rodgers' right to be upset and to be frustrated right now. It's just a bad situation that's created by having a really great quarterback in a great season. All right, Graz, I'm on your side, baby.
Look, I mean, let's... The idea that it's a bad situation that's created by having a great quarterback is the part of this I'm never going to be okay with. As one who roots for a team that never has a great quarterback, believe me, it's a lot harder when you don't have that guy. Graziano, what are you hearing inside and outside the Packers about the situation?
Look, I mean, things have kind of calmed down around this situation, which is how the Packers want and need it to be, right? If whatever they end up doing, they don't want to do it under duress. So this breaking right before the draft, there was a lot of chaos, and right now things are settling down. They want to be able to find a solution. They just don't know what it is. And it may be moving on from Aaron Rodgers. At this point, we have to see how serious he is about sitting out mandatory work, mandatory minicamp, training camp, etc. But to the point that Dominique is making, about Brian Gutekunst and the Packers and the way they've approached this. I go back to two off seasons ago when Matt LaFleur was hired as their coach. I talked to people who interviewed for that job, and they were being told, we're looking for somebody who can be here a long time, who will be here longer than Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about the future beyond Aaron Rodgers, and we're looking for a coach that can help shepherd us into that future. When I talked to Brian Gutekunst before training camp in 2019, and I asked him what he liked about Matt LaFleur, he said, you know, somebody who we think can manage us into our future at the quarterback position, handle the transition at the quarterback position. That was on the Packers' minds 2 years ago, and certainly 1 year ago when they drafted Jordan Love. So that's how the Packers operate. They're not worried about, are we going to be good this year, as much as they're worried about, are we going to be good every year? And that's what's behind the Jordan Love pick. The problem is that Aaron Rodgers has not been managed according to the needs of his personality, his ego, whatever it is. So if you're Brian Gutekunst and you made these decisions for the good of the franchise, great, but you didn't sell it to your star quarterback, and that is the source of the current problem.
Go ahead, RC, real quick.
Graz, you don't have to sell it to the quarterback, and it's not about his needs. It's about what he has earned.
Oh, but you do.
He's earned a conversation, Graz. He's earned, this is where we're going in the future. No matter what you think about Coach LaFleur, everything that he's going to do for you will be in the future. Aaron Rodgers has been your past, and he was now your present. That is a conversation that's easy to have with grown men, and at least then Aaron Rodgers knows how to take it. You can't ask him to come into a relationship or be in a relationship and then change it on him and not have a conversation with him. That's all it would have taken.
This is a conversation that isn't going away anytime soon. We're just getting rolling here as we get with you this morning. Coming up, the Browns appear to make a big decision about the future of their franchise. The question is, did they get it right? The answer is clear, and I will give it to you. Plus, how much can the Steelers really rely on their quarterback next season? His number one target with some interesting comments about the offense. All that's on the way. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Only two of their primary starting offensive linemen are still with this team that finished 28th. In win rate on pass blocking, which was the worst by any playoff team last year. But despite that, the Steelers were one of the most active teams throwing the ball last season. They dropped back on 66% of their plays. That was sixth most in the league. As for the run game, they basically didn't have one. They ranked last in rushing yards and yards per rush. They're only the fourth team since the merger to make the playoffs after ranking last in both of those categories, which led Juju Smith-Schuster, their wide receiver, to say, I think we just have to stay true to our run game. Sometimes we love to throw the ball, and I don't mind it. It's going to be a very interesting year to see how our run game plays out. Najee Harris is a huge commitment for our offense. I'm just curious to see how this pans out. but more heavy on the run game and moving players around. So now I've heard everything. A wide receiver is saying we need to run the ball more. I never thought I would hear that. But Dominique, let me come to you first on this thought. If one were to make the statement, just looking at this team, looking at where they were and what they've done, that right now of all the teams in that division, the one whose future looks the bleakest is the one in Pittsburgh, and that future could be coming quickly, would that person saying that be right?
I think it's hard to argue against that. The only optimistic part about that team is the fact that they're never bad and that they have Mike Tomlin and that Kevin Colbert's done a good job. It's just trust in their infrastructure and trust in the fact that they seem to always figure it out. But you can't really look at the roster and listen to the things that are being said and think that this team is somehow going to all of a sudden learn how to run the football again. They're going to have to run the ball, but it's going to have to be a pass-focused offense, and it's going to have to be based on deep shots that get people out of the box to then allow you to run. Deep shots to Claypool and that sort of stuff. That was the problem with the offense last year was they couldn't run the ball. They also couldn't attack deep down the field because they couldn't protect, and Ben Roethlisberger is getting late in his career, and he can't take the hits that he once did. So I'm not sure how this team gets any better. They're going to be reliant on that defense again this season because there are no players left for them to bolster that offensive line. The draft has passed, and free agency is looking pretty dry. So maybe they're going to coach these guys up, but if they can't improve that offensive line, I don't think they get much better offensively.
And the defense is really good. And RC, you know him better than anybody, but there's a lot of in Tomlin we trust going on here, because if it wasn't for him, I think most people would be looking at them as one of the worst teams in the league.
No, absolutely. But we've seen Mike Tomlin get through many storms, though. The same way I'm getting through a storm here, Greeny. There's lightning. There's thunder. The rain is smashing against the window. But we soldier on. And that's the exact same thing that we do in Pittsburgh. And when you look at Mike Tomlin and this team never being below 500, always finding a way to stay competitive, I think this is going to have to be one of his best years of coaching, because the focus will be on him. The focus will be that Kevin Colbert didn't move on from Ben Roethlisberger. He didn't necessarily go out and get his replacement. You went with Najee Harris in the first round instead of going to get an offensive lineman, which you didn't do until your third pick. And now you have Matt Canada, who runs sideways. And I know this because they ran him sideways out of Baton Rouge, because it was so much jet sweep. It was so much let's put someone, a running back, at the slot receiver and allow him to come behind the line of scrimmage and run reverse. Those things aren't going to work in the NFL. You have to find a way to give that illusion, but become a downhill physical running team that will allow you to protect Ben Roethlisberger and not throw the football 2 yards past the line of scrimmage and ask Johnson, ask Smith-Schuster, ask Claypool to make plays. You know, you said earlier that their future would be the bleakest. The only reason their future isn't the bleakest is because the Cincinnati Bengals went with who I think is going to be a star receiver in Ja'Marr Chase instead of Penei Sewell. What makes Cincinnati Bengals a little bleaker is that Joe Burrow might not be upright in the future in order to become the star he was drafted to be.
And that's not the usual standard by which we're accustomed to judging the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I get what you're saying and I can't disagree with it. Graziano, what's your sense?
Well, look, I mean, Juju's talking about running the ball more. Last year, you mentioned they couldn't pass block. The line couldn't run block either. So last year's Steelers became, yeah, you know, a conversation about what can we do. Ben Roethlisberger's time to throw was 2.3 seconds, lowest in the league. So all they thought they had was Roethlisberger, get rid of the ball quickly, and then we'll figure it out. So they have to put that offensive line back together. I understand watching those Najee Harris highlights from a couple minutes ago why you would think he can do it all, but he can't. He's not going to be able to snap the ball to Roethlisberger and block it. They need somebody to replace Maurkice Pouncey and build out that offensive line.
All right, there's a bunch of news out there for a time that's supposed to be quiet in the NFL. There's a million things going on. Graziano, let's run the hurry up through some of these. What's going on in Philly?
Eagles claimed running back Kerryon Johnson off waivers from the Lions. You know, they have Miles Sanders. They have a couple other guys, Jordan Howard and other guys in that running back room. They like to have a big back that can run the ball for them at the goal line. Kerryon Johnson might get a chance to be that. Certainly add his name to that Eagles running back mix as they try to build that offense out around Jalen Hurts. Zach Wilson and the Jets had a rookie minicamp this past weekend. Reviews were good. I talked to some people there. They said it looks like he understands the timing of plays and how to manage a huddle. So that was a good early indication on Zach Wilson from Jets rookie minicamp. They hope to build on that as they get closer to the season, and obviously project him as their week one starting quarterback. Buccaneers Week 1 starting quarterback was on an NFLPA conference call on Friday. Tom Brady weighing in on the issue of off-season workouts, which has become a big hot-button issue between the NFLPA and the NFL about whether veterans need to be there for voluntary workouts. Brady coming down strong on the side that they don't, trying to encourage some of his fellow players that if they do want to stay away from the voluntary portion of the off-season, they don't need to feel pressured, as many have in the past, to attend.
All right, it's a really interesting scenario. The animosity between the players and the league office on this issue, I think, is something that bears keeping a close eye on. We'll see where it takes us. In the meantime, I need you to see this. This is Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf, who did not run quite fast enough in the 100 meters Sunday to advance to the finals in his professional track debut. But I think that's kind of burying the lead. The lead is that he was out there running in a professional track event, and I thought managed himself awfully well. It's at 10.37 seconds in the 100 meter, 15th among the 17 who competed, but he looked like he belonged out there. And so I would ask Dominique Foxworth, who was a very fast man, what do you think of that? When you see DK running in a row, would you have done that?
Absolutely not. So I can embarrass myself? Like, he's out there with people, right. Like, real runners. Like, people running people. Like, that's what they do, yes, for a job. Like, it's different. Their whole life, like, this is what I'm going to do every day in my life. And the only reason why he stood out wasn't because of his speed, was because he's ginormous. Look at that man next to him. Like, he could eat that dude. And he's also right next to him. I don't care if he was first place or last. He fit right in out there. It was really impressive. A little risky, but I enjoyed it.
RC, what'd you take away?
Listen, it was absolutely risky, and Dominique is right. If you took four of those dudes and stood one on top of the other's shoulders and then take the other guys on the opposite side, they still wouldn't have as many muscles or be as tall as DK Metcalf, and he looked like he belonged. Here's my issue. If I'm DK, I don't get out there so you can see how many people could beat me or that I'm last. What I do is I run alone by myself, yep, get it timed professionally, and y'all gonna have to superimpose the other dudes. Because right now, we just know that he's a really fast football player. Let's not prove it to the world that I'm not just a really fast running human. It's great, it's fun, but now Jalen Ramsey can send tweets out that he enjoyed watching his son run professionally because he felt like he shut him down all season.
It was fun to watch one way or the other. Let me take a break here. We got lots still to come as we get up with you on this Monday. Coming up, the Browns make a QB call that'll decide the next 5 years of their franchise. I will tell you why they got it exactly right. Plus, we're all assuming Brady and Mahomes will be back in the playoffs next season, right? But what teams won't be? Answers to those questions and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Wednesday on SportsCenter, full coverage of the NFL's first ever 17-game schedule release. Find out when Tom Brady and the reigning Super Bowl champs face Bill Belichick and the Patriots, the rookie QB battle of the top two overall picks, and when Patrick Mahomes will meet Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Coverage begins Wednesday at 6 Eastern on ESPN and continues on ESPN2 with a SportsCenter special at 8, hosted by Monday Night Football's Steve Levy. Don't miss the live reveal of the must-see matchups in the biggest NFL season ever.
Where will the Cleveland Browns fit into that? We shall see. They look, after another strong offseason, like a significant threat to Kansas City in the conference. Now, recently, there's been speculation out there that Cleveland could make itself an even bigger threat by making a move for Aaron Rodgers. Not so fast, says Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the team and has for years at Cleveland.com. She writes, the Browns are thrilled with their 2018 number one overall pick. That, of course, is Baker Mayfield, and believe he can win Super Bowls for them. They're ecstatic that he turned the corner in the second half of last season, throwing 20 touchdowns against only 3 interceptions in his final 12 games, including playoffs. And so, that begs the question, should the Browns be knocking at Aaron Rodgers' door, or is Baker Mayfield going to win them Super Bowls? That's the question. Ryan Clark, what's the answer?
The first thing, you don't knock at Aaron's door, because Baker Mayfield can get this team to a Super Bowl. This team can have a good enough roster. They can have a good enough quarterback, a good enough coach. Obviously, Andrew Berry, a good enough GM. But that's not always how you win Super Bowls or how life should be measured. Because you know what? I'm sure that Patrick Ewing and the New York Knicks, they were excited that they could win a world championship. And then you know what? Reggie Miller, he probably thought the same thing. Oh, what about Charles Barkley, who wins the MVP in Phoenix? Or maybe John Stockton and Karl Malone, two Hall of Famers in Utah. All of those people were good enough to win NBA championships. All of those people are in the Hall of Fame. All of those people just happened to be playing when Michael Jordan was playing, which Baker Mayfield, for most of his career, if not all of it, will be playing with Michael Jordan in his conference, and that's Patrick Mahomes. So I think that the Cleveland Browns are maybe the most complete roster in the AFC right now, and they have an opportunity, along with the Buffalo Bills, to compete with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC championship. Would I pick them? No. If they're favorite, would I pick them? No. If Patrick Mahomes is alive, even if he's limping and his left arm is tied behind his back, am I picking Cleveland? No. But will they be good enough at some point to compete? Yes, they will. Am I going to say they're going to do it? I'm not. And if they do, then you'll be happy. But you have a franchise quarterback. Don't trade him away or go looking for Aaron Rodgers right now, because it's about being good for the foreseeable future.
Here's the thing, though, Dominique. I feel like he's arguing against himself, which is to say that you know what would change that paradigm? Do you know what would make that different? If Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback, if Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
It's only worked once for the Green Bay Packers, Greeny.
What's
only
that?
Worked once for Green Bay, and he had an elite defense. It's only, I think, Green Bay had him a long time.
If you switch those two guys right now, Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers, on the rest of the rosters they'd be talking about, what conversation would we have? Aaron Rodgers is the Green Bay Packers.
It's different.
Baker Mayfield's
different.
Got the best roster in the entire conference.
It's different. It is very different than talking about this team if you just added him as a free agent. McFly, you're going to have to trade for him, which means you're going to have to send a lot more of your talent out the door. So I understand why they're saying publicly we are not looking to call and find and trade for Aaron Rodgers. But if Aaron Rodgers was a free agent, this would be a different story. I think that trading for Aaron Rodgers, because they don't want Baker Mayfield, they have Jordan Love. If you're going to get Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay, you're going to have to give up some of those pieces that make that such an attractive destination. So this is different. And given how we understand that quarterbacks with some power can make things a little bit uncomfortable, given the Aaron Rodgers situation, the Carson Wentz situation, I understand why Andrew Berry, who I think's had a great offseason so far, why he doesn't want to make it public, why he's not calling around looking at Aaron Rodgers, because then you're stuck with an angry, disgruntled Baker Mayfield. So if Aaron was a free agent, we have a different story. But Aaron's not a free agent. So just go ahead and slide back, put out these comments. I don't want Aaron Rodgers. We got our franchise quarterback.
I love
Baker. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Baker's my man. He don't believe that in his heart. He's not a fool.
That's what I said in the tease. This is why they got it exactly right, Graziano. They're exactly right to say they don't want Aaron Rodgers, because he's not coming anyway. Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley are not looking to get to Cleveland under any circumstances. That's not what's going to happen here. So if they come out and say or
don't
suggest they
like
want
that.
Him, now you're going to wind up the same place the Jets were in 2012 when they went after Peyton Manning, even though they had zero chance of signing him. And you know what they wound up having to do?
Yeah.
They wound up having to give Mark Sanchez a $40 million contract extension because they hurt his feelings. Don't make that mistake again. The Browns got this right, because Graziano, Rodgers isn't going there no matter what happens.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're going there anytime soon either, Greeny. Your comments like that, you're not going to be welcomed back to the shores of Lake Erie.
He just left.
But look, Aaron Rodgers, from what I understand from the Browns, and what Mary Kay is writing is correct. They do like Baker Mayfield. They believe they can win with him. They thought he showed good strides last year. But I think, you know, they're going to get a chance to put their money where their mouth is. This offseason is the first in which Baker Mayfield has been eligible to negotiate a contract extension with the Browns. And yes, they picked up his fifth-year option for 2022, which gives them time. What that extension looks like and when it happens will tell you a lot more about how they really feel about Baker Mayfield than what we hear in terms of anonymous quotes and anonymous opinions from inside that organization. I believe that they are all in, and they're not in a don't rock the boat situation, right? They like what they have going on. But in terms of Baker Mayfield, we'll find out exactly how they feel when the numbers come in.
Right. If it's not broke, there's no need to fix it. No one's suggesting there is. All I'm saying is every team in the sport, besides maybe Kansas City, should be trying to get Aaron Rodgers if they can. Every team is made better by Aaron Rodgers. It's not a value judgment on anybody else. Okay, let's go either or here, guys. Let's take a look at some other situations. RC, I'm starting with you. Who starts more games this year, Mac Jones or Trey Lance? Who you got?
I believe it's Mac Jones, because it feels like San Francisco is trying to do everything to not start Trey Lance or not put any pressure on him. We're just going to move up to three. We're going to give up all these things. We're going to draft you, but we're cool with your sitting behind Jimmy Garoppolo until you're stinking 32. No, if you're ready to play, you play. And so to me, I know that New England is about winning. This team is set up for a game distributor like Mac Jones, and I think he will be the starter before Trey Lance.
Graziano, who has a bigger sophomore season, Tua or Jalen Hurts?
I'm going to go with Tua. I think the group around Tua, to me, looks stronger right now than what Jalen Hurts has around him in Philadelphia. Again, on paper, we will find out. But I do know that the Dolphins always looked at last year as, I don't want to say a red shirt, but a learning and development season for Tua, and they believe he's positioned to make big strides this year and look like the quarterback that they drafted him to be.
Dominic, top of the draft. Who throws more touchdowns this year, Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence?
I got to go with Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick. They don't have a great offensive line down there in Jacksonville, but they got some great playmakers and great weapons, and I think it boils down to who's better. I'm not sure how good Josh Wilson is, Zach Wilson, I'm not sure how good he is, because we saw him dominating a low level of competition. We'll see what happens. There's more growth for him than there is, I think, for Trevor Lawrence. So I think Trevor Lawrence steps in and throws more touchdowns in his first season than we see out of Wilson.
All right, fair enough. So long as if by Trevor Lawrence you meant Zach Wilson, then I agree with you completely. Okay.
Now,
let's continue sort of putting a finishing touch on last season and looking ahead to next, because we all know that playoff teams get reshuffled every single year, even in this one, in which there's going to be one additional playoff team in either conference. So give me an NFC team that was in the playoffs a year ago that is going to miss the playoffs this season, Dominique Foxworth.
I think it's the Saints. I think that Drew Brees meant a lot to that organization, and we're uncertain about the quarterback situation. If they're going to shift this all to a Jameis team, which I think is their best potential option, we'll see what happens. But this team is going to have to be leaning a lot more on their defense than they had in the past. So I think that they probably missed the playoffs down there fighting to win the division against Tampa Bay.
That's an interesting one. Graziano, who are you looking at?
Yeah, I think I went a little easier one. I went with the Bears, I mean, who were only 8-8 and got in as a wild card team last year because they had expanded the playoffs to seven teams per conference. So I think this is going to be a year where they're figuring out the quarterback position, when does Fields start, et cetera, and what do they have around him. But I think Chicago is probably a team that snuck in last year and probably can't expect to do the same thing again in 2021.
Fair enough. RC, which way are you looking?
Listen, I'm going to go against Graziano, because lately he's just been a curmudgeon, and he's been upset with Aaron Rodgers, upset with us on group text. So I'm going with the New Orleans Saints with my boy Dom. Listen, losing Drew Brees isn't just about what he did on Sunday. It's about what he did throughout the week, the ways that he allowed that offense to progress and watch others run it. Also, we've never seen Sean Payton go 16 full without Drew Brees at quarterback. You lose a lot of people because of the cap casualties, and I think that the New Orleans Saints will be rebuilding this year.
All right, if you guys think you're going against Graziano, wait till you hear this. I think it's going to be the Green Bay Packers. The minute they trade Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers are no longer even close to the best team in that division. I actually think the Bears are going to win that division. Their quarterback play gets better. They traded up to draft Justin Fields. That defense remains good. The Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers, that's like the Rolling Stones without Mick Jagger. I mean, Charlie Watts a good drummer, but I'm not 100% sure. You guys could have come up with a better reference than I just did. What's the reference I'm looking for?
We like that one.
Give me a reference that isn't 50 years old.
I love it. It's perfect. Well, maybe you could modify the Beatles.
Oh, just go Jackson 5. Just go Jackson
without
5.
Michael.
Though. Everybody
perfect.
Know Michael Jackson.
That's
there you
it.
Go.
Perfect. With great respect to Jermaine, Marlon, and Tito, they needed Michael standing in front there singing. And that's what the Packers need. They need Aaron Rodgers. And without him, I think they're staring at 6-11. Because we're all going to have to get used to the fact that there are 17 games. All right, let me run the bases through some of the baseball here. We'll continue to figure out all this other stuff. The Mets win, but that's not the story yesterday. They win a game 4-2, but the story of the day yesterday. Wait, let's start with Giancarlo Stanton. Excuse me. I lost track of my place. We begin with Giancarlo Stanton and the Yankees. For the second straight game, they walk off with a win. Stanton continues his hot hitting, a walk-off base hit in the ninth. The Yankees have gotten it going. They're 18-16 on the season. Now, back to Jacob deGrom. This is bad. He's the best pitcher in baseball, and he was pulled after five innings of what was eventually a 4-2 win yesterday with right side tightness. He will undergo an MRI. He was pitching for the first time since skipping a start due to discomfort in his right lat. So there is cause for concern right now with him. And then the freeway series in L.A. The Dodgers lose to the Angels 2-1. Trevor Bauer gave up just two runs, but the Dodgers offense couldn't help. They left 12 men on base. The defending champs started the season 13-3. Since then, they have dropped 14 of their last 19. And our American League West Monday Night Baseball matchup is game one of a three-game series between Mike Trout and those Angels taking on the Astros. Coverage begins 8 Eastern tonight on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, don't call it a comeback. Neek will tell you which team that missed the playoffs in 2020 will make it in 2021. We're turning the tables. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Here we go. I will be a little bit more polite than John McEnroe was as I provide this series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to Dominique Foxworth, and he has to answer them whether he wants to or not. Here we go. Neek, there are 32 teams in the NFL. Which one had the best offseason?
Oh, it's easy. I think it's the Browns, and what Barry has done up there as the GM has been really impressive. The way that they've upgraded the defense more than anything. They went and got Troy Hill and Johnson out of the Rams secondary to improve their secondary, which has been hugely impressive. And then they managed to get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the draft, who was my favorite linebacker going into the draft. I know there were other guys who are ranked more highly than him, but if you watch him play, he's exceptional. He's not the biggest guy, but he's comfortable in coverage. He's comfortable playing the nickel in certain positions, even covering receivers, and he comes up and hits as if he was 275. So I love him as a player, and I love the offseason that Andrew Berry has had with the Browns.
Yeah, plus they added Devion Clowney. They drafted the corner in Greg Newsom. They look awfully good. All right, next, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We know they will host the NFL's kickoff game on that Thursday night. Which team should they play? Neek.
All right, so I narrowed it down to the Dallas Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills. And then I realized that the Cowboys would be pretty embarrassing. They'd be out there kind of like their hoverboard ran out of energy over top of a lake, which no one wants to see that. So I'm going to go with the Bills because the Bills, I think, were very close. They were on the doorstep of being in the Super Bowl, and that could have been a game that we saw. It could be a potential preview of the Super Bowl to come. So that, to me, feels like a more competitive game. We'll be able to answer the question if Josh Allen is ready to bounce back and put back-to-back high-level seasons together, and we'll see how good this Buccaneers defense is going to return, even though they're bringing back all of their starters. I think that game would be more intriguing than watching Dallas out there. And we got Dak paid. We can get off of that bandwagon now. Good for you, Dak. Now you can chill out. Take a break.
We can move on to the next one, which is, will Tom Brady continue to dominate the AFC East, even no longer playing in that division? All right, last one. Give me the team that missed the playoffs last season that is going to make it this year in the NFC.
Missed the playoffs last year is going to make it this year in NFC. I'm going to go San Francisco. I think that they are on the come up like Goldie Wilson. If you don't know who it is, Google it. It'll make sense. Because this trade up to sign Trey at quarterback, I think, is taking this team to the next level. We all know how smart Shanahan is as a run game coordinator and as an offensive mind in general. You add this type of dynamic to a team that really has no holes on their offensive side. Their offensive line is outstanding. Their receivers, while they don't have like a true number one, they have great receivers, and they have possibly the best tight end in the league. You put that all together with a running quarterback, with an athletic quarterback who can also stand in the pocket and deliver in a defense that is full of talent. I think that team, it's going to be tough to get out of that division, but I think that team has to make the playoffs this coming season.
I'm with you. In fact, I would take it a step farther. I think they're going to win that admittedly tough division. Okay, now let's circle back to where we were a moment ago. We talked about teams that we thought were going to make it, that are going to miss it, make it. Let's go to the AFC. Give me a team that made the playoffs last year that will not make it this season. Ryan Clark.
I know this is bad, but listen, I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that always win, especially under Mike Tomlin. But listen, we're not talking about a guy going from working in the diner to being the mayor of Hill Valley. This is Mike Tomlin trying to figure out what he's going to do with Ben Roethlisberger, what he's going to do with this run game. And yes, they have an elite level defense, even with losing Bud Dupree. But to me, they are the third best team in the AFC North. And being that, they do not make the playoffs even with seven teams now getting in.
Okay, there's so many things about that I love. One of them is Ryan Clark this morning has picked against his hometown team, which is the New Orleans Saints, and now is the team he played for, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So if you don't think that man is an honest man, then you don't know Ryan Clark. All right, Graziano, give me an AFC team that's going to miss it this year.
I am with Ryan Clark, even though he thinks I'm a big old grouch. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to miss the playoffs this year. I don't see on paper how they're a very good team. I know they can lean on Ben Roethlisberger, they can lean on Mike Tomlin, but that's a lot of leaning and not a lot of other places to do it, especially in a division where the Cleveland Browns look like a very strong roster, maybe as strong as any in the conference. And the Baltimore Ravens still have Lamar Jackson and a team that we all thought was ready to dominate the league a year ago and just didn't get it going early enough for whatever reason. I think Pittsburgh's in some trouble.
Dominique.
You are a grouch, and I don't know. It doesn't matter because RC got Goldie Wilson, and RC, you complete me. It makes me so happy, but I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans, maybe. I think that the Titans, their defense hasn't been very good, and they probably have gotten a little worse, and they have an offense that is a bit antiquated in the fact that they rely so heavily on the running back. They were able to replicate it, the success last year. It'll be hard to do again this year, but that division won't be very difficult, so there's a chance they could make it, but they certainly aren't going to make the wild card coming out of that division, I don't believe.
Mine is the Steelers, too, but more importantly, tell everyone who Goldie Wilson is, Dominique. Go.
No, I don't explain jokes, Greeny. I refuse. I refuse. You can't make me do it. This for me and RC. I don't care if you get it. I don't care if anybody gets it. You're darn right. Either you know or you don't know.
All right, Wilson, I now have my activity for the next commercial break. I'll be Googling like crazy. Meanwhile, let me run the floor. Don't look now, but the New York Knicks are great. They are very close to clinching a playoff berth for the first time since 2012. They beat the Clippers yesterday by 6, behind 25 from Derrick Rose and 14 from Julius Randle. Break up the Knicks. They're on their way to the postseason. Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler helped the Heat hold off the Celtics surge in the second half. Miami won that one 130 to 124. So the Heat are 2 games up on the Celtics for the 6th spot in the East. Boston currently hovering in that play-in tournament as the first team right now in the 7th seed. We'll see where that goes. There's a week to figure it out. Luka Doncic was ejected in the 3rd quarter for, quote, hitting Colin Sexton with an aggressive strike to the groin area, end quote. He has 15 technicals this season. Next one's a mandatory 1-game suspension. Mavericks, by the way, won that game, and that was his face. As we continue, who's to blame in Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers or the front office? Wait till you hear what a legendary coach had to say. You will, as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.